Now, this feels like Hugh's song.
Put me in, coach.
You ready to play?
Yeah, not ready. Not yet.
Not center field either.
No.
Not yet.
Center field will be a problem.
I don't think Hugh has range.
No. It was when I was out there in the field, right, T.O. was at bat. And, you know, T.O.'s a freak of nature, man. Like, to be able to do some of the things that he does at his age, I mean, he's out there running with those kids, right? And he takes his game serious because he just played pickleball before he came to play baseball. And I knew, I was like, man, if this cat see me in the center field, he going to try to hit the ball to me because he know I ain't got no range to try to go get it. And it was one play where I think he hit it to Brandon Graham. And Brandon almost caught it, but he dropped it. So, yeah, I was just happy that the ball wasn't
hit. So how long were you in the field for?
Oh, for about one inning. Then I said, you know what? I'm good. My feet, Joe. Like, people don't understand. When you're young and you wear cleats, you got to break them in, right? I didn't break my cleats in. I completely forgot about that aspect of the game, any game. Mm-hmm. So I had my old-ass feet and these little-ass shoes. And my dog started barking. Like, they were barking, and it was all bad. It was just a bad day. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I should have just –
Did anyone else struggle, or were you the only one?
No, I was the only one to struggle. Okay. I was the only one on struggle bus because mostly everybody else had their cleats that they actually played in that were actually broken in.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Or tennis shoes because they're athletes. They're comfortable in their skin. And, you know, I'm the only one that went out and bought some gloves and some shoes trying to, you know, blend in with the kids.
You spent the most to play and looked
the worst.
I looked
the part, though. Somebody said, at least you have some nice shoes on, though.
What happened to look good, feel good? What happened to that?
I looked good and was like, oh, my feet hurt. Mm. It was bad.
Feel good, embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
That's the WIP Midday Show. There it is right there. All right. Let's grab a phone call, and then we got to hit, there's been a pivot point in this Philly season, obviously, but there may have been a different turning point that has nothing to do with Don Mattingly. Jordan, let's get him back up in Princeton. His phone wasn't working. We got him now. What's up, Jordan?
Well, thank you, Kyle. I'm the biggest pain in the neck caller that you guys are going to have today, and he's very nice about
it. That's okay.
Man, that guy is obnoxious. It's nice that you even put him on the air and give him airtime, but my God, who called him a dope? He sounds like a dope to me. No offense, Aaron. San Diego's a great city. We got to pitch this to Netflix. This is a miniseries. This is Hugh Douglas, Road to the MLB. Get you starting up, you know, following the training, get you outfitted and everything, get you tryouts. I mean, this is what streaming services live for, is a story arc like this. I think Odyssey can really diversify its revenue stream by getting into TV
revenue.
You and the Hugh Douglas Road to the MLB.
Yeah, we like revenue.
This is a really good idea. And much like, Jordan, I'm sure you've seen something like with the Eagles last year in Hard Knocks, right? They'll splice audio in from the show. So, like, they'll have me saying that Hugh can't do this and then him working his butt off to prove me wrong, and I'm the bad guy in the show, and I'm the heel that doesn't believe in my co-host. I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, that might be a plan. We need to workshop this a little bit, though.
I can't wait for the talking head Joe Giglio interview where he's like, oh, this is shameful. He's not going to do this. And then as the season goes on, you know, Hugh, he finds his mechanics. He gets his stance out. You're an athlete, right? You're a freaking athlete, man. He's going to figure this out. And then Joe's going to eat crow, just like we all got to apologize to Joel Embiid. We might even have to apologize for Paul George. Oh, my goodness. So many opportunities here.
Yeah, say y'all.
It's
sorry.
A great idea, and there's no chance I'll have to apologize because there's no chance this guy's making the big leagues at 55 years old. Zero.
You know what? The All-Star game coming. I need some baseball players to help me out. I'm gonna make some phone calls.
Well, there's gonna be a lot of good ones in town.
I'm gonna make some phone calls.
Okay, Jordan, what are you feeling on the Sixers?
Well, I'm feeling like we have to give them a pass. We've gotten blown out in the game one pretty recently. Recency bias is a thing. So I think they can get past it. I had to tell a quick story. You know, there's a lot of playoff sports right now. And as a father of two, it's been a pain in the neck to try and see everything. You know, I got responsibilities and kids sports and all this stuff. And on Saturday, when we find out that we have back-to-back critical playoff games for our winter teams, my wife informs me that I've got to be at a bar mitzvah. And my options were, you know, homicide, divorce, or coming up with an excuse. And I'm stewing about this. And then I find out that it's during the day. And so I get home at 6 p.m. and I get to put both games on. But the father of the bar mitzvah boy happens to be a Philly sports fan. And he's excited, too. He doesn't want to miss this stuff. Kids, this, whatever. It's all about the Sixers. The last song of the night, they're playing the Don't Stop Believin', and he's jumping up and down celebrating. Tears his Achilles. Oh, the last song of the party. Oh, misses the Sixers game. Ira, I'm so sorry. He's a great guy. Ira, I couldn't feel any worse about that. I watched the Sixers in your honor. They won for you, man.
Oh, my gosh. That is a wild story. You know, I'm sure you and Ira and everyone, there's a lot. There's a lot going on, and this is a busy time of the year trying to squeeze it all in. So we all got to make choices or give up sleep or, you know, jump up and down and tear our Achilles at a bat mitzvah. I mean, it happens. I mean, Jordan.
That's probably the worst way to do it, too.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess Jordan, he does have an excuse now to kind of sit on the couch for probably a week and a half and just watch these games.
Hey, I heard he can't drive for 3 months, yeah. So hopefully we go on a long run. He ain't going to miss any games for a while. I'm not giving up on the Sixers right now. I just got to touch on your conversation about the Phillies and Topper. There's something that was missed in the timing. You know, Dombrowski gave us a pretty good breakdown of the timing. They were talking to Cora over the weekend. So when we talk about Harper maybe not being, you know, all in on Topper this year and them looking for other options, they really scrambled at the last minute to put Mattingly in that. They were going to make a move on Cora. It didn't happen. Mattingly kind of had to accept the job because otherwise they didn't have any other options. It was very poorly handled, and I don't think these players are dumb. These guys have been around the game for a very long time. So that was some very good reckless speculation on the part of y'all.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jordan. We appreciate
it.
That's what we do. It was slipshoddy, the way the Phillies handled it. Now, look, sometimes slipshoddy things turn out well. I mean, the Phillies have won 6 out of 7.
It looked like it's working right now.
And look, we could be honest. The schedule has lightened up. The Giants and Marlins are not as good as the Cubs and the Braves. And now come the A's, who are decent, and the Rockies, who are not. So they should win some more games this week. And we shall see. But, Hugh, there's another thing that has happened here. Now, is this Don Mattingly? It was this Topper's fault. Probably neither of them have anything much to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest change that really has happened over the last week plus has been the starting pitching has gone back
it's been much better.
Yes, and that coincides with the return of Zach Wheeler. So if you go back, Wheeler started a couple Saturday nights ago in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
5 innings, 2 earned runs, right? Other than the day after Wheeler started, Nola started the next day in Atlanta, and he got beat up. That ended up being Topper's last game. So it started with Wheeler. You had the tough day for Nola. Since then, the last 6 games, I pulled it up. Last night, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs for Aaron Nola. Day before that, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs from Jesus Luzardo. Saturday, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs from Andrew Painter. Before that, it was Wheeler, 6 innings, 1 earned run. Sanchez, 6 2/3, 2 earned runs. And then Luzardo, 7 innings, 0 earned runs. I mean, Hugh, the biggest difference besides the managerial shift the last week, their starting pitching has gone back to being and looking like one of the best staffs in baseball.
Yeah, and not only that, Joe, the one thing that I've noticed is that it feels like there is more of a conscious effort to move people. It's move runners, you know, try to generate more offense in a small ball type of way. So, yeah, it's a combination of both things. But you're right. The pitching has been a lot better than it was before Topper got fired.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. It's since Zach Wheeler got back, right? Like, you know, he's only started twice in this span. It's not like he's pitched every game. He's starting.
He was this catalyst.
Well,
did he whip him into shape?
I think the leader, the best pitcher on the staff, the guy came back. And I don't know why, but they've all kind of fallen back into line. The only one that struggled over the last week, well, two things. One, getting Taiwan out certainly helps, right? It eliminates once every fifth day it's batting practice, and it's a big jump to go from Wheeler to Taiwan to
Sorry,
Wheeler.
You.
Yeah, I mean, we know you're a Taiwan guy, but.
No, that when he did that hair, his hair, that orange hair, that was kind of weird.
Oh, was that the end?
Yeah, that was.
Okay.
That was a little...
So, big upgrade from Taiwan to go to Wheeler.
Nobody picked him up, right?
No.
He chilling.
Now, has it been 10 full days? I'm trying to think when the date was they released him. It's probably around 10 days right now, because he pitched in Chicago, right? I think he pitched in Chicago. About a week and a half ago?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, it's 2 weeks ago he's been gone? Oh, well, that means he's...
Me chilling.
That means nobody wants... I mean, what? Did you guys think anyone was taking the rest of that contract?
No, you know what's funny?
$15 million?
I remember it was early in the season. You probably remember this, Kyle, when you sent me a stat line and you said, that right there gets you DFA, and that was like weeks ago.
That might have been a second star.
it was early. It was real early.
He earned the release, let's be honest. So, I mean, the switch from Taiwan to Wheeler is a big part of it. I also think they just fell in line. I mean, the last week or so, Painter's the only one that's really struggled. Painter didn't pitch well on Saturday, but they kind of got through it, and he didn't give up that many runs.
Painter gets a season pass almost.
I think he does. Well, I mean,
in terms of like making any grand assumptions about his career.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Now, I mean, that would come a case if he keeps pitching poorly. Do they need to find another fifth starter for the rest of the season?
Well, sure. And then, you know, we talk about Longman and postseason if they get there and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm just saying.
No, I my mind on him hasn't changed, but he's going through it. And is anyone really surprised? He didn't pitch well at AAA last year. He just didn't. He's probably going to need the full year to figure this thing out. But that's why they need that's why the Nola start last night was so important. They need Aaron Nola to at least be solid, right?
Like masterclass, as Mattingly called it.
That was a masterclass by Aaron Nola last night. He pitched well, and they got through it. They won 3 out of 4. Let's go to Christian in Philly. What's up, Christian?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
How you doing?
Fine, yourself. So, Mr. Hughes, I guess. Right. So, don't listen to all that stuff everybody's telling you to do. This is what you need to do. Broomall Batting Cages will train you for a decent price. They're not expensive because a lot of families go for their kids, and they train all ages, okay? They train, they help you with your stance, they help you with your throws, they help you with your batting. They also help you, like, condition yourself. So you can do that right now, right, you know, so there, when Devontae Smith invites you again to the baseball event, you'll be good at it.
Yeah, at least I'll make contact. That's the thing. But see, Kristen, my goal is now, I want to exceed that. I want to play in the major leagues. So
yeah, but
you
can't do that.
No, I can't. Why can't I? No. Why can't I?
You're too old.
I want to know what he cannot do. That's not right.
He's too old.
You know, when you
say
that,
that is the reality. I mean, they might just let him play one game.
That's it. That's
they
all I get.
They might let him play one game.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's a charity case.
I'm going to get a contract.
Stop.
Give me a major league contract and make some millions.
Now, if they're on strike and they need scab players, that's different.
I'm going to go ahead. If I get out there as a scab player, you'd be jealous.
I would be, actually. I'd be totally jealous.
But anyway, I feel like if you do that, actually go to, like, the Broomall Batting Cages, because I love the Broomall Batting Cages. I've been going since my son was going. Uh-huh. I know a lot of people that go. They do kids and adults up to whatever age. It's a good price. It's fun. And, you know, it makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel good in the inside, in the out. So even if Devontae Smith invites you again next year, you'll be ready.
Yeah, that's a big old if because I was bad. I was bad. Even if that's a big old if, but yeah, I was bad. That was bad. But it was fun.
So
it was
Juan,
fun.
Because Juan Alejandro Hurts, he was striking
Juan
all
Alejandro haters. Alejandro Hurts. Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah, he was. He did a good job. He did a good job.
He was striking out all, and he was making home runs. So he was doing great. And then, but my favorite part of the game, because see, I had my own event, so I watched it after the game on YouTube. But my favorite part of that game, Yankee Rondo, he made him look like mince meat. Because first of all, you can tell
bad.
The tension.
Me and Yankee Rondo were bad.
I told Yankee Rondo about you.
No, I'm sorry, Kristen. I forgot Jenky Rondo was there because I told Jenky Rondo about Joe Giglio. My fault. The floor is yours.
So I saw the tension. Like, I knew the tension went. So when Jalen Hurts had ran the second base before he ran to the first base, him and Jenky Rondo would say, Jenky Rondo moved up because he talked all that smack about Jalen Hurts, but he a punk, right? So then he went to the stage. But, you know, Jalen Hurts has class. So he took that out, his issues out on him on the field,
what,
right?
What did Janky Rondo say about that?
Nothing.
That was AJ on Janky Rondo's podcast.
You don't see his podcast?
No,
he said a lot of crap about AJ Brown.
Oh.
And that's why I didn't even understand why AJ Brown was on his show.
Oh. Well, I didn't either.
So yeah, But anyway, right? But my favorite part was when he struck Yankee Rondo out the second time, Yankee Rondo was talking crazy. Oh, if it wasn't Jalen Hurts, it wouldn't have been a struck out. Then T.O., Terrell Owens, chimed in and was heckling him, and all the players was laughing at him on the blue team. It was great. It was great. That's all I have to say.
Well, you know what? It was a great event. We're glad you got to go, and we appreciate the phone call.
And I'm glad that they invited me, had a ball.
Jalen doing Jalen things. I mean, all he does is
win. He's a winner.
He was on a winning team?
Did their
team
win?
Yeah. Okay. They had a loaded roster. That's that's the story that I'm saying.
Jalen won on a loaded roster?
Well, no, I'm saying.
What do you know?
Wow, yeah, Hugh.
I didn't mean it.
Wow, it's a subtle shot from Douglas on Hurts.
No,
only wins with a loaded roster.
No, I didn't mean.
We heard
like,
it.
First of all, it wasn't Jalen's team. Jalen
called him hot garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Fantasizing about Dak. Now he's on a loaded roster. The guy can't win.
What I meant was.
This is sad.
What I meant was. You had a lot of people over there that had somewhat of a baseball background.
What about
your Dallas
team?
Goddard.
What about your team?
It was, me, BG. N'Kobe was decent. We had some decent players, but it felt like they had some dogs over there.
Yeah, I mean, when Jalen's on the other side, everyone just melts.
No, he did. He melted us.
Better than Jalen until it's time to be better than Jalen.
Nobody said all that.
What? And you're the one that said he had a loaded roster. No, you're diminishing his accomplishment.
No, I didn't say Jalen had a loaded roster. I said they had a loaded roster.
Jalen was on the loaded roster.
No, I'm saying it was it was a lot of guys on there that were friends of one another, and they were doing all this, that, and the third. I mean, it was cool. It was great to see. It was the camaraderie. Let me be honest. The camaraderie between him and Smitty was pretty cool.
Was it
like
the whole
camaraderie between all his teammates was pretty
was
cool.
Was there a draft, and did you participate?
No, I think they just picked teams. Like, you know, it was like one
this
team
doesn't another. Seem
or,
above board.
Or they did a draft behind everyone's back so that nobody
who
felt
knows?
Bad.
I who knows?
You think he was picked last?
Yes.
I probably was. I mean, that would not be anything that I would feel bad about. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that they were like, because you know what's funny? When I was there, everybody said, hey, man, don't get hurt. That was like the theme of the day, was don't get hurt.
Isn't that telling you something?
Yeah. Okay. I'm the oldest cat there.
I know, but maybe we had to take those dreams down a notch.
Well, no, it was because
no, it was because that's not my skill set, but that's going to change next year.
It's not.
It's going to change.
By the way, because as she mentioned, there's a whole YouTube, you can watch the whole game. I'm going to try to peruse it to see if there's more we missed from your performance.
Oh, no, it wasn't a whole lot more because, like, after that bat,
yeah, but you said you were in the field. If we can get exclusive footage of
that. I walked out there, Joe, and I threw a few balls or whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I set my ass back on the bench. Harper was chilling.
I can't believe you diminished Jalen's accomplishments.
I did not diminish Jalen.
This
right here is why I'm going to start getting the vitriol from people that don't listen.
Well, good.
And they're going to be like, oh, my gosh.
Well, the title of this episode for the podcast is Hugh Douglas, Jalen only won because he's on a loaded team.
Yeah, that's basically.
I mean, that's what you said.
I didn't say that. No, I said they. I didn't say Jalen.
Jalen's team won because it was loaded.
It's interesting
no one has
that
to know that was
matters,
softball.
And it wasn't Jalen's team. It was Smitty's team. It was Smitty's event.
Oh, just like it was Saquon's team.
Oh, my gosh.
It's always the quarterback's team. You know that.
You guys are ridiculous.
You know that. Cowboy Jim. Cowboy Jim is up. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Satchel Paige pitched at 59 years old, pitched 3 scoreless innings. Minnie Minosa. Played at 56 years old. You can do it.
I know. Hold on.
For the audience that doesn't know, Satchel Paige had been playing for his whole life in the Negro Leagues, and then he finally got the chance. It wasn't like he just popped up at 59.
Yeah, he pitched for a long-ass time. Well, that's my meme, by the way.
His first experience wasn't getting struck out on slow-pitch softball and then trying to dive right
in. He was a baseballman. He was a baseballman.
He was one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Yeah.
Let's go with T-ball. Let's sign up for T-ball for the summer.
I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that at all.
All right, and you can DH. You could DH, okay? You could DH and then just sit inside under the tarp, you know, keep cool because your dogs will be barking. So we don't want that.
I'm going to get some better shoes. I think I'm just going to go out there in my regular shoes.
That'll do it.
Yeah. That'll do it. And you're not like Aaron. You're not a meatball sub with Kyle Quinn legs. What does that even mean, Kyle Quinn legs?
He said
really
top
sexy
heavy.
Legs.
I don't know.
Definitely not top.
That whole
heavy.
Call was a mess.
Yeah. Okay. And as for this scheduled loss, everyone can keep talking about.
That's what it was.
They shot 63%. What more do you? I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, they were shooting so good. I mean, if the Celtics had shot in 60%, they'd have won. They'd have all been over with. So stop with this schedule loss.
Well, it was. It just, unfortunately, that's what it was. I mean, once in a while you have those, and I blame the NBA. Cowboy Jim, we appreciate the phone call. Look, I'm not trying to say the Sixers have no blame for the way they played last night. They didn't play well. I mean, they earned the loss last night. I just feel like of all what I learned in the last series and throughout the NBA playoffs so far is these blowouts happen. The Sixers had two of them against the Celtics.
And they still came out.
Yeah. Now, if they go out in game two and get boat raced by 30, that's a different story. Then we have some problems here. Then it might just be a matchup issue. But after one game, I just feel like it just felt to me early in the first quarter when the Knicks were moving around at a different speed, like, oh, the Sixers just don't got it tonight. They have two older guys that have had a lot of injuries and they can't move tonight. It's going to be a big problem. And it was. Now, they got to rest today, and Nick Nurse has to make some adjustments. Maxey's got to get going earlier, and they really need to attack Brunson. They made it so easy on him. I mean, he's going to score, right? Brunson is a great scorer. But they didn't attack him at all on defense. He just got to rest on defense.
Yeah, I feel like the first half was, they fought hard, and they were able to take the lead for a short period of time, and then the Knicks fought back.
Yep.
Yeah, took you three teams. But that's when the legs started to go. As the game progressed, yeah. That's when the legs started to go. The Knicks got it right.
versus the Sixers. Knicks Sixers.
Good job, man.
The winner goes to the Eastern Conference
final. Out there.
By the way, I guess it would be game one tonight of the other side of the Eastern bracket, Eastern Conference bracket. Did you guys talk yesterday about
what he did? Brought his team from the brink.
Congratulations, yeah. Tobias Harris.
We talk about Crumble Cookie. Mm-hmm.
He had a 30-point game seven.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you're going to hold on to that one for a long time.
No, I'm just saying, it's like that. That's the matchup I want to see, Philly. I want to see the Philly and Detroit. That would be great.
Oh, you want to see the Sixers against Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
I'd rather see Harden. I would love
it. Well, because you know why?
Of the history.
Well, no, because he'll quit.
I think Jolly will implode if we get Daryl Morey versus James Harden for the right to go to the finals.
Oh, Daryl Morey is a liar. We'd play that
would be,
so much.
That would be crazy.
That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Yeah, I'm going to root for the Cavs just so we could face the Cavs in the Eastern Conference final. And plus, I don't want to hear Hugh talking about Tobias and how good he is.
No,
I'm
not going to
talk. Like, you would.
I never said how good. I just said I thought it was kind of interesting.
You're going to be glazing.
Glazing is crazy. I'm not going to be doing that. I'm just like, the dude got paid, and he's never been to an All-Star game. That's all.
It's fascinating.
Strong arm robbery. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did see a stat yesterday, and I can't find it now, but I'm actually glad Hugh hasn't gotten his hands on it, because it was something to the effect of 30 points, 5 assists, whatever, in a game 7, and it was like Tobias Harris.
And the crew.
I think the only players at this age to do that were him and Steph Curry. I think that was the statistic.
Dude, the stat line for Tobias Harris and some of his accomplishments is kind of crazy.
I mean, there's not that many.
I mean, I'm just saying.
let's not go overboard here. All right, 215-592-9494. A few more of your calls to get in here. You people as well. And we have one of the wildest press conference questions and confrontations I have ever heard yesterday. You got to hear this. The back and forth was wild. We'll hit you with that and all your calls. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.